Welcome to the Post-Christian Podcast. Our mission is to make disciples in a post-Christian culture. I'm Eric Bryant, one of the executive pastors at Gateway Church in Austin, author of Not Like Me and my new book, Fruitful, Becoming the Person God Created You to Be. I'm also providing resources at ericbryant.org. We continue our series on reaching and making disciples of the next generation. I'm very grateful to have with me Noah Marshall, Colby Tate. Thank you guys for joining me on the Post-Christian Podcast.
Of course.
No problem.
Yeah, these two, we go way back, good friends with my own grown kids. And the reason I wanted to have you guys on is you have your own podcast. It's called Illuminated. It's about helping young people find and discover God and faith. Tell us a little bit about your podcast.
Yeah, so it's so first of all, it's kind of more than a podcast. Like, I don't mean to say that to sound all like conceited or anything, but it's less of a podcast and more of like a show that we make in order to connect young adults to faith. And we are going to try and post kind of like weekly. And it's basically, we're going to have like a new topic every week. For example, some of the topics would be like how to trust God, or how to speak to God, how to pray, who God is, stuff like that. But we really want to be, we don't want to be pastors. We want to be, you know, college students. We want to be people who are kind of on their level, kind of connecting with them, face-to-face per se, even though it's over, even though it's online.
That's great. I love it. I think that's going to be fantastic. And, you know, having seen you two growing up, I mean, I've known you both since you were children, you know, now as young adults, maybe share a little bit for those who are listening, who are raising kids in a post-Christian world and want to figure out, how do I even raise up people who follow, you know, follow Jesus, have faith? What were some of the things that your parents did well to help you guys get to the place you are in your journey?
I think that, so like before me and my family started coming to Gateway, which is where I would say I found Christ, we were just trying out different churches, as I'm sure a lot of people do, but my brother had connected us to Gateway. And, you know, we just came for one of the main services, but, I think part of it was, well, I was pretty shy back then, not as extrovert as
not
I
as
am
much
now.
Now.
For sure. Yeah. I didn't want to go to, the youth group and hang out with all these other kids. I didn't know my age. So I'd always just stay with my parents. But I think it was more so they kind of like let me choose that way. Like, they weren't pushing me to go to youth, because I feel like as a kid, like, if you're forced to go do this, you're going to be almost just reluctant, because it's just like your parents saying it, and that's just, I feel like, how it is. But I would want to just like go to the main service with them. But, you know, there's a part of me that was just like, well, maybe I should go try out the youth. That was just kind of on my own. But I think just being at church, and just seeing that environment, but then also seeing like the other students, like what I could be a part of, I think was kind of the part that got me into starting my faith journey. So I wouldn't say like pushing your kids to do that, but I think kind of just letting them kind of wander and figure that out on their own.
Yeah, and I think they did that in the context of, you know, they would take you to church. So they definitely had, you know, even before Gateway, that was a part of your life.
Right.
Faith is an important part of their life. But you're saying it, kind of the forcing to go to camp and forcing to go to youth group could have backfired. But it was in that environment. Mm-hmm. Like, I remember when you did come, you know, kind of we had this big conversation at an IHOP, you, me, and your parents. And I think it was after that, there was a desire to follow Jesus, and you got baptized. And so I took my son, Caleb, we picked up Colby, and you had a couple of neighbor friends. And that was kind of the beginning of the three of you guys hanging out for the next 7 years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I love what you're saying, that not forcing, but within the context of faith was important, it sounds like, to you.
Yeah.
It's great. What about for you, Colby? What's helped you along? What did your parents do right in how they raised you?
Yeah. So, my mom has been like always extremely active in church. She kind of has been a really good example of what it means to like giving up your time in order to positively impact others. And so growing up, we originally, whenever they first moved to Austin, we were going to a church called Greater Mount Zion that was in East Austin. And it was a little bit far, but I just remember like all my memories from Greater Mount Zion are pretty much just me going with my parents and my mom serving and my mom doing this, my mom doing that, and me having to stay there late because my mom was doing this or my mom was doing that. Exactly. But, you know, eventually we ended up finding our way to Gateway. And that was when I kind of got connected more to people my own age. And that was when I was able to start serving more myself. But my dad as well, he was very involved with church as well, but he did it more quietly, right? So he's an introvert, but he was also an active Christ follower. And I just remember him always, like every time we would have dinner, he would be the one praying, or, you know, whenever we would go out to see friends and family, he would be the one saying the prayer. So he has always been like a really good example of who God is. And I've seen God work through him. He's a very generous person. He's always there for me, and he's always kind of just exuding godly characteristics. So
that's awesome.
Always had that influence on me.
Yeah, you guys are both incredibly fortunate. You have amazing parents. And I do think, you know, there is a sense of like the way they lived out their faith, you know, was the biggest, you know, one of the biggest influences in your lives. And then for you both, you know, eventually connecting with others your age was really important. And, you know, we were at a South campus where, you know, it wasn't a big youth group at all, you know, and it was, sometimes you guys were meeting in the hallways of a middle school, you know, while the adults were in the cafetorium. So it wasn't like a huge youth group or anything like that. We didn't have all the bells and whistles, but what was it about connecting with others your age that was so important in your journey with Jesus?
I'd say just that sense of community, just having others around you that are kind of in the same spot as you. I think that just gives kind of just you like a sense of, you're just more comfortable. And you just feel like more safe in that environment, to just kind of, I guess, like be free and like be yourself, where I feel like a lot of students, that age just like don't get to feel that a lot, especially like in school, I think sometimes too.
Yeah, sure.
So I think just having that free environment to be who you are and be in that community with other people your age and just kind of like where you're at in life is really what does it.
That's good. Yeah. Anything you'd add to that, Colby?
Yeah, I would agree with Noah. It's a good sense of community, but it's also a place where you can be unafraid to be confused, because everybody around you is going to be just kind of as lost in understanding who God is as you will.
Yeah.
And I liked how we had a good group of youth pastors, like Ricky Ashiona. He was great. I remember like the first time he showed up, we were all kind of like surprised to see that somebody was actually talking to us, who knew about what it meant to be youth. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that was big.
It's kind of tough going into, you know, the main auditorium when you're 12 or 13, because for one thing, the services are a little bit longer, and people are, you know, you're being talked at by someone who's not the same ages you and who isn't delivering material who is to a 12-year-old, you know what I mean?
Right. Yeah.
Not saying that Ricky Echiona isn't is delivering material to 12-year-olds, but you know, he's making his sermons and stuff applicable to people our age or middle school, high school. So that's what I felt was really impactful.
That's great. Yeah, I do think watching you guys grow up with my kids, you know, there is a sense of that community. And you said it well, Noah, it was almost like for Caleb, at least, you know, he was way more connected to you guys at youth group than to his friends at school. You know, and I remember that stretch. I mean, there was months, maybe it was even a few years that you guys would, you know, go to youth group at 11 o'clock on Sundays and then spend all day together, you know, a whole bunch of you, a whole pack of you.
Yeah.
And it was just really fun to see that happen. And, you know, for those listening, you know, we do have a really dynamic and remarkable youth pastor, but before him, you know, John Ng helped, but that was just like 10 hours a week. And before that it was volunteers, you know, it was really, you know, Quinn and others who just decided this is where I want to serve. But I do love how they helped create community, but you guys were the community. You know, I think so many of our kids, as the youth group did begin to grow, you two, along with some of the others, were really great at trying to connect others in. You know, once a year, that mission trip seemed to be a really bonding experience, you know. Camp was always a bonding experience. But talk about now that you guys have helped start the college group. You know, you're literally kind of starting from scratch, and you started in the middle of a pandemic. And yet there's, you know, 20 to 30 students that show up every week, some that don't know God, some that do, some that were kind of wandering in their faith and have come back to faith. What do you think is hard about people in their 20s in America, in a college town even like Austin? What makes it hard for young adults to follow God? Or what's going against what you're trying to do in starting this college group?
I feel like there's a lot of things that are kind of preventing people from following God. I think the biggest one would be catastrophes, like global catastrophes such as, you know, COVID-19 pandemic, or there's constantly mass school shootings, or just mass shootings in general all over the country.
Yeah.
You know, there's international warfare going on, you know, over in different countries. There is wildfires going on all over the country. So it kind of makes people question, you know, how could God let these terrible, awful things happen? How could God let all these innocent people die in just a few seconds for seemingly no reason? Yeah. And that just kind of questions their faith. But other than that, I would also say having technology, because technology has been, it's been an extremely large blessing, but it's also been kind of a curse, because there's such a large bank of misinformation that flows around, and it can be very easy for, you know, people to see one group of Christians do one thing wrong, and then, you know, they end up having a predetermined assumption about all Christians, you know, and that can prevent them from coming to church. So things like that.
Yeah, unfortunately, everything you said is so well said. I mean, that was absolutely accurate. Is there something you'd add to that, Noah, that you've seen in some of the friends you're trying to reach out that keeps people, or even people who grew up in church, you know, that have wandered away from faith? Are there other things that make it hard to reach this generation?
I think I mainly agree with the technology thing, because that is just that's so big for our generation, because I mean, that's how we like grew up, was just like with this technology. And I think, again, seeing like stuff on your phone, social media, but also just like, even just hearing like other, even just like non-believers or people who are like expressing like, you know, how could this happen? Just like our generation so easily influenced that, just a simple, you know, question like that or thought can really be discouraging, and kind of just have them like take a really big step back, farther away from that trust. So,
Well, and I think even too, you guys both mentioning, you know, technology and people being online, and it's super easy to see, you know, friends are out partying, friends are, you know, into this kind of music or that kind of thing. You know, it's almost like you're more aware of what's happening with your friends, and everybody's trying to outdo each other. And some of that can be really difficult. And that's, I think, one of the things that I loved about the way you guys interacted growing up is, you know, that those Sunday hang times, you know, I'm sure some of the time there's, you know, one of you would grab the phone or whatever, but you guys really were intentional about face-to-face time together, you know, and I just love that. And as you guys are starting the college group, you've had a great team around you, and Kurt Foster and Katie and Paul Jung, you know, some of these folks are on staff, and that's part of their job. Others are volunteering to do this or raise money to do this. But what have you guys seen that's working to reach and even disciple, help people grow in their faith in their young 20s?
I think that one thing that's working well is connecting with people on a more personal level. So instead of, you know, constantly inviting them to church, going to them and going to meet them, to hang out, or going to do something with them outside of church, you know, get to know who they are. If they aren't a Christian, getting to know what they like to do, who they look up to, things like that. And then, you know, I like to mention, you know, casually in conversation that I'm a Christian, because it's a lot easier for people to open up about their faith if they already know that you are a Christian. And it's not even a thing where you mention it every time that you talk to them, right? That's right. A little bit too much. But, you know, yeah, if it's one of the first things that they find out about you, and then, you know, they don't hear it again for a while, they might be more likely to open up whenever they're in a tough spot. I know that I have friends at UT who have not been very active in church, but they knew that I was a Christ follower just because of social media, and because I've told them that, no, I'm at church on Thursdays. You know, I'm doing this with my church group. I'm serving tomorrow, you know, things like that. You don't have to say, oh, I'm Jesus follower every day. You know what I mean? But whenever that person was in like a tough spot, I was there to be like, oh, well, ever tried praying about it? Or have you ever thought about asking God for the answer to that question? Or something like that. And then they'll be a lot more likely to tell me about that.
That's great. That's good. What are some other things you're seeing, Noah, that are helping connect people, new people, to what you guys are doing?
Yeah, I think just being at the service kind of just with open arms, just similar to like what I said with like the youth, just middle and high school, it really is the same thing. Just people want to go somewhere. And feel that sense of connection and community, and to be themselves and be, again, just as confused as everyone else.
Yeah.
But also like what Colby was saying about inviting others to things kind of like outside of church, because and we've talked about this in our group, like inviting people to a whole, you know, service who maybe, you know, haven't even been to church ever might be a little overwhelming. And so I think just kind of like how we just outside hangouts, maybe just going to Zilker or Zilker Park or bowling, you know, just hang out with the community that they'd be with at the service, just makes them more comfortable and easier to step into that environment.
That's great. Yeah, you guys have done an amazing job. Just excited about your new podcast. Love what God's doing in your life, through your life, whether you're at school at University of Texas or Austin Community College, or you're out getting to know new people or inviting people in. Thank you guys so much for spending some time. Keep up the great work, and just amazed and proud of who you guys are.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks for joining us on the Post Christian Podcast. More resources available at ericbryant.org.